The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we're back. Final hour has arrived. Glad to have you with us. We'll talk to John Adams from Knoxville in a couple of minutes about the challenges that Tennessee has heading down to the Swamp this weekend, where they haven't won in 417 years. Larry is up next. Good afternoon.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
Larry, we're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been trying to get ready for last tournament Saturday. Been out there getting my boat ready. I hope I can make it.
I hope so.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a commemorative tournament to one of the best fishermen on the planet. Got killed in a car wreck, Kyle Mayberry. And y'all get out there and fish it, man. But anyways, yeah, I'm listening to football, and you know, Paul, you right on, man, when you said the injuries, and there's a lot of missed tackles holding, but the referee is just taking a beating on Facebook, man. I didn't know they'd let them be on there if they threatened to kill people. God. Man, they were hating on them refs.
Hey, Larry, have you considered maybe another social media outlet other than Facebook?
Yeah, I just flip it on. Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to go to Twitter.
I just think you're having a rough time lately with Facebook.
I know. I'm going to go to Twitter.
Hey, by the way, Larry, if you stay on Facebook, I have a favor to ask you.
Yeah.
Will you be my Facebook friend?
Oh, man, I will friend you. I won't unfriend you.
Okay,
man,
I just don't think I can handle you being – imagine this, Randy, being unfriended by Larry on Facebook.
Man, hey, I need all the damn friends I can get, especially to buy me a beer. I know Smirk would probably unfriend me.
You think Smirk would?
Smirk would unfriend me.
Would you friend Larry on Facebook? He said yes.
Oh, ain't he sweet? He just don't want me to bang on. He don't want me to put him down no more. Probably beat him down pretty good.
I don't know how to break this to you, but I will. I mean, you almost died the other day getting into a scrape with one of your neighbors. I don't think you should continue to threaten people like Smirkley.
I know. Wouldn't that be something, man? I fall down and get out of here right before he punches me. Oh, man,
did you hear that day, Randy, when Larry slammed the gate in his neighbor's into his neighbor, and the neighbor nearly killed him just by what did he do to you again? Did he even touch you?
He just pushed my chest a little. It scared him. It scared me. I thought I'd gone, man.
Well, you just have to, out here ain't no fun. I mean, you need a reality check here. You're not the same. You're not the bar brawler you used to be, okay?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm having a tough time trying to get ready Saturday.
Okay,
I don't know if I can go do that or not.
Larry, I mean, you've had a few bar brawls in your time, haven't you?
Shoot, yeah, brother. What you high school, grammar school. Yeah, you name it. I've been there.
I mean, what would you say your overall winning percentage is in bar brawls?
I was pretty good in bars. Yeah, I was pretty dang good now. That's great. I don't have no sense. That's my problem, you know. But I can take a punch. That's the problem people have.
What's the key to a bar brawl? Is it making sure you got a bottle
punch
in your hand or something?
Just know you'll stay away from them bottles. And that's why I give, you know, you got them bottles involved, you can lose real quick.
Yeah.
But you get that first shot in, you got it. You should make it. Bam!
Okay.
Then it should be curtains, you know, if you just hit them right. But it's tough.
So when in doubt, just go ahead and hit.
Just hit first.
Yeah, as the guy is still taunting you, just go ahead and slam him right in the chin, right?
Yeah, you got to take him out first punch. Any, I'll tell you something. If you hit one and he just stands there, you better get your ass out of that bar as fast as you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you hit a guy and he goes, he kind of like dusts the he kind of flicks his shoulder to get the dust off.
Yeah. He kind of looks at you and rubs his chin. You better be gone. You better be done.
And then he goes, is that your best shot?
Yeah, you better get out of here, boy. You're in trouble if you do that.
Then you start running, right, Larry? Okay, well, I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, next ball. Me and you go get in one. I'll show you. I can't do it, but I'll show you how to do it.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate the heads up. I'll keep that in mind. Cat Daddy, did you take any of that under advisement? Good afternoon.
Oh, man, I don't get any fights. I already got a new set of teeth, so I don't need to buy me a new one. Look here, Steve Paul, let me tell you something happened to me. I was up at the Michelin County at the Baptist Hospital up in Columbia.
Yeah.
Have some tests on. I'm okay, so don't worry about that.
Okay, good.
So while I was in there, I was getting ready to watch the Carolina ball game, and I got to flipping around on the satellite they got up there in the hospital now. They don't have the ACC or the SEC channel.
Oh, my goodness.
But guess what? Football channel they did have.
What's that?
The Big Ten.
This is in Columbia, so, South Carolina?
Right in the heart of Gamecock country. All the football network with the Big Ten. So this
what they have on, Purdue-Indiana lacrosse contest?
That was about right.
Here's
what I surmise from that. Because the Big Ten is owning all the hospitals in Columbia, at least the Baptist Hospital.
The Baptist.
I got a feeling there are more Yankee doctors from the Big Ten in South Carolina than there are Southern doctors.
Well, first of all, I mean, going to a Yankee doctor is not a good idea.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't want to walk in my doctor's office and see, like, a University of Michigan degree.
I know. I like to see them South Carolina Medical University degrees.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, you have a good day, Mr. Feinbaum. Appreciate you allowing me on the show.
Thank you. I'm fairly disappointed to hear that. What about you? That the Big Ten network on or the hospital? Oh, that would make a lot of people sick. Let's talk to Tom, who is in Chicago, the headquarters of the Big Ten. Tom, are you there? Yeah. Windy City. Maybe he lost the signal. Let's try Red Bay, Alabama next. Hello, Joe.
Howdy, howdy, Paul Feinbaum.
What's up, Joe?
It's good to talk. It's good to talk to you, my friend. And
you, got it.
You know, as listening to Larry, I mean, I don't know if it's just an Alabama thing, but we actually got a lot in common.
You and Larry?
I mean, I ain't been in many bar fights, but you know, but when he said when they stand there, but when they stand there and grin with blood coming down their face, you better run, because they think they can mess you up. But hey, you know, I've got a neighbor, and plus he said something about the neighbor. I got a neighbor, you know, she just moved in yesterday. I used to date her a few years back, many years back, and she just moved across the road from me. And I don't know if it's on purpose or accidental, but she has a little female dog. Well, my dog went, you know, I heard her screaming today, and I'm like, oh no, not this again. And she had her hands up around her mouth saying, Joe, get your dog off of my dog. So I thought he was whooping her. And no, he was humping her. And then she screamed. She said, have you not had him fixed? And I screamed back, no, because he likes girls. I mean,
he likes
girls. You know, neighbor problem.
Okay, hey, listen, I'm trying to hold on to my job here, Joe. Be careful, okay?
I am. Hey, let's go to football. And I'm going to go ahead and make my – I know I ain't done this prediction yet. I'm going to go ahead and announce right now, week three, my final four. That's going to be in the playoff.
We're in week four, Joe.
Well, yeah, Sweet Four. Sometimes I forget a week or two in between.
Okay,
but,
Joe. Okay, Joe. Course, without further ado, your final four.
Alabama. There's no doubt Alabama. Okay. There's no doubt.
We got that.
Alabama. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. They're gonna.
It's Wisconsin, not Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Well, I've never been there, so I don't know how. You know, I don't know how they pronounce it. And I'm going with Iowa.
Iowa.
And you ain't gonna guess my next one. No.
Cincinnati.
And I don't think I'm dishing nobody by making those predictions, do you?
No. Wisconsin has a big game this week against Notre Dame.
Well, the only one that may bust the party up would be Oregon, you know. I've got them sitting at number five at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one, Joe. I'll see if I can get you on SportsCenter at 7 o'clock tonight. We will take a break. More to come, including a conversation with John Adams, a longtime sports writer in Knoxville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And Matt Barry there just reliving some of the greatest games in history in the Tennessee-Florida series. And it's breathtaking to think about how great this game used to be. John Adams, who's covered this game since the mid to late 80s, joining us now from the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, thanks. Great to have you on. And I think not to seal a political campaign slogan from yesteryear, but as how do we make this game great again? Good afternoon.
Well, I think it'll take a little more time, Paul. I don't think we can do it this week.
Too bad, because I was in watching that clip we just had. I mean, I forgot. I'd forgotten Tennessee losing that game at the Wire a couple years ago. So there have been some interesting games. But in terms of this Tennessee program, John, I know everybody's trying to figure out where Josh Heupel is in year one. Where do you think he is?
Well, it's hard to say, Paul. I thought he lost a game he could have won to Pittsburgh. The other two opponents were helpless. Bowling Green, one of the worst programs in FBS. Tennessee Tech, a really bad FCS program. So those games were meaningless. I thought he could have won the Pittsburgh game, but he played the wrong quarterback. I just think Hendon Hooker is a better option than Joe Milton. He started Milton that game. Hooker came off the bench and kind of got Tennessee back in the game. So Tennessee's still a long way from football relevance, and certainly a huge distance away from what it was in the 90s when those Florida-Tennessee games were something special. The crowd noise last week in the Swamp reminded me of some of those mid-90s games when Tennessee was playing in the Swamp. I thought that was as last week was as loud as it's been there in the Swamp for a while.
In terms of trying to gauge the program, John, I know everyone's trying to be patient because that's how Tennessee has gotten into this mess in the first place. But I'm not saying they've been impatient. I can't think of a coach who has been fired since Philip Fulmer left that shouldn't have been fired. Maybe one or two earlier, they should have happened earlier. But what is the level of patience from this Tennessee fan base right now?
Well, I mean, Tennessee fans are very loyal, and I think they're trying really hard to be patient, but that's asking a lot. 8 losing seasons in 13 years, just being dominated by its biggest rivals, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. I mean, those Florida games even, they were close for a while when Will Muschamp and Jim McElwain were there, but Florida goes out and gets a really good coach, Dan Mullen, and he's won 3 games against Tennessee by an average of 23 points. And the irony there is John Curry, then Tennessee's AD, wanted to hire Dan Mullen. But when Chip Kelly turned down Florida, Florida got Dan Mullen, and weeks later Tennessee settled on Jeremy Pruitt. And you see the difference there and what those two programs have become.
I want to get into that for a second because I'm trying to remember who it was. May have been Ross Dellinger. I can't remember. Somebody had a really great story about a week or two ago, and I was talking to Scott Strickland last Friday off the air about it, where he detailed what happened in that Florida search. Florida clearly identified Chip Kelly as their guy. They went up there to New Hampshire. In fact, his girlfriend, I think, went down to Gainesville. I mean, this thing was really moving along. Scott Frost was in it, but they didn't really care for Scott Frost that much, which shows they were really smart. And so at the same time, Dan Mullen is being wooed by Tennessee. So let me ask you this. Had Chip Kelly stayed the course and taken that Florida job, which for at least 3 or 4 weeks it looked like he would Dan Mullen have been hired at Tennessee? Would he have taken that job?
Paul, that's a really good question. On the surface, you think, yeah, he would have left Mississippi State for Tennessee. But if you go back a few years, Mississippi State had a better program right then than Tennessee did. He had better talent coming back at Mississippi State than he would have had he gone to Tennessee. So I'm just wondering if he would have made that move or maybe waited another year. I think there were going to be a lot of schools after Dan Mullen, and there probably still are, and he may end up in the NFL. And so I couldn't say for sure. I'm really not sure. Do you think he would have? I'm not sure that he would have left Mississippi State for Tennessee.
Because let's be honest. The Tennessee job is not exactly that attractive at the time. And, you know, they ended up, if I remember correctly, the 3 finalists after Mullen moved on were Mel Tucker, Kevin Steele,
yes,
and Jeremy Pruitt, which
right.
Mel Tucker's done okay since then.
Yeah, he went and had a cup of coffee in Colorado, then moved on to Michigan State. Based on what we've seen so far this year, might have that program going in the right direction. Yeah, but Jeremy Pruitt, probably the worst coaching hire Tennessee's ever made.
John, I don't need to stop and make sure you understand what a statement that is, because I mean that's a mouthful right there.
Well, but think about it, Paul. He didn't just lose. And he didn't just lose by huge margins to his biggest rivals. He's left Tennessee in disarray in terms of the NCAA. He had a massive exodus to the transfer portal after Pruitt was fired. And then there's this black cloud still hanging over Tennessee football. Who knows when the NCAA will get around to punishing Tennessee for the sins of Jeremy Pruitt and his staff.
And John, the obvious question is, and you may have answered it, is there any indicator now of where that is, if it's anywhere?
No, I mean, you know as well as I do, Paul, you just don't know what the NCAA will do and when they will do it. I mean, it doesn't publish its itinerary. It's just, you're just kind of out there waiting. I mean, you saw what happened with Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze, and you've seen it happen with other programs, and you really don't know the outcome. I think Tennessee did everything it could to minimize penalties, and then it really was aggressive in cleaning house, and I think that should count for a lot. Strangely, it doesn't always seem to.
No,
but I think in Tennessee's case, it really should.
Yeah, because right now, John, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to what's happening with the NCAA. They appear to be so dysfunctional. And let me ask you overall. I know Tennessee brought in a new athletic director who brought in Heupel from UCF. I mean, it's pretty talk. We're talking about a major transformation since the end of last season. Other than the product on the football field, which is to be determined, how's everything else going up there?
Well, Danny White, the AD, just introduced a new ticket program for football and basketball and baseball as well. A completely revamped the structure, as they put it, modernized things. And you know how that can go. It will anger a lot of fans. It actually may work out for the best. We'll see later. But the main thing Tennessee has to do is put a better product on the field. I mean, you can't put a losing team, or at best a break-even one maybe, on the field and then expect people to come watch you play Tennessee Tech in Bowling Green. I mean, Tennessee needs to upgrade its schedule. So what does it do? Next year, it cancels out with Army, which I doubt it could have beaten, and replaces it with Akron. I mean, Akron's right in there. It's a great partner to Bowling Green in the MAC. Two teams will fight it out to see who's the worst program in the MAC. I think that game's on October 9th if you want to catch it on ESPN+.
Yeah, I do. Somebody called and I did not see that. That's fairly disappointing, and it's not because I think we all have such respect for the service academies, but that's a game that, you know, regardless of where Army would be that year, whether they were playing for a conference championship or just putting a product on the field, I mean, people would be interested in that game, and I really cannot imagine one person in town, short of the personnel that works at Tennessee, wanting to go to the Akron game.
Know about as many as would want to go to the Tennessee Tech game. I will say, though, Paul, as a veteran, I appreciate Tennessee giving $500,000 to the Army. I mean, I think our military complex could use that. So I don't have any ill feelings about that.
Looking ahead, John, and I hate to put you on the spot as a football analyst here, but in terms of what we thought back in August versus what we think now, I was not overly optimistic, but I thought the schedule suited up pretty well for Tennessee. But I also thought that Pittsburgh game was pivotal. Where are you right now on how this season is going to go?
Paul, I really thought the Pittsburgh game was pivotal. I thought that was a game Tennessee would win or could win. And I think when you look at this team for Tennessee, if you look through a bowl lens, you see, how's it going to win six games? Well, it's going to be Bowling Green, Tennessee Tech, and South Alabama non-conference games, probably beat South Carolina and Vanderbilt in the SEC. But who else are you going to beat? Pittsburgh was one of those maybes. I thought it had a better chance to beat Pittsburgh than it has of beating Missouri or Kentucky. But now it's got to win one of those games, Kentucky, Missouri, to qualify for a bowl. So I would say maybe Tennessee right now is a game behind an optimal scenario.
Yeah, and there's Ole Miss and I'll read the schedule for those who aren't watching. After this weekend, it's at Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, which will be intriguing to say the least, Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, South Alabama and Vanderbilt. So, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I'm sure there's in terms of the crowd at last week, and I agree, you can't come up with a worse matchup. I think it was an early game. What did it look like in the stadium for Tennessee
Tech?
Well,
I think they probably had about 60,000. It looked in some areas like they were doing COVID seating, space seating. But Paul, I still am kind of flabbergasted at times at how well Tennessee draws. I mean, all it's been through, all the losses, all the turnover, all the changes, and then you don't have high expectations for the season. You like to break even. And then you play an opponent that's just that brings absolutely nothing to the table except a sure win. And you can still get that many people to go out and watch the game. I think that's a pretty good testament to Tennessee fans' loyalty.
No, I agree. I think that is the thing that they have been. And not only are Tennessee fans loyal, they're always believing that something good is going to happen, and they deserve it. You're right. It's just been a tough situation. John, thank you. It's always great to have you on the program, and hopefully maybe some good news down the road.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
You got it. The one and only John Adams joining us, who has covered Tennessee since I think the late 80s, and he has seen a lot lately. We will head to the break and more of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you with us. Charlie is up next in Alabama. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am well. Thank you.
Great. Hey, Paul. I've been listening to you and John Adams bash Tennessee for their poor play, their NCAA, their scheduling, about everything else, you know. But I think you need to give some of the other schools in the conference credit for playing patsies. I mean, didn't Auburn just play Akron, the Zips? And then Alabama played Mercer. And, you know, there's a lot of patsies in the league that we're playing. And I think we ought to give credit for all those schools. And not just Tennessee, but, you know, every dog has their day. And I think you ought to spread it around. There's other schools you feel really bad about you not giving them credit.
Well, Charlie, I agree. I hate these games. It doesn't matter who it is, and it just so happened that Tennessee had canceled a game with West Point to make way for Akron. In Auburn's case, I don't think you can be too critical for playing Akron, considering that they just came back from Happy Valley. But thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing your comments. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how's it going this evening?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, I'm glad I'm following Charlie from Alabama instead of Joe from Alabama. I've never heard a call like that one right there.
Thank you.
But anyway, this Tennessee-Florida game, I know you guys put the question out, which means more, the Florida or the Alabama game. The Florida game is the next game on the schedule. That's why it means more. But not only that, Tennessee's whole season has always been based on how they did in the Florida game. And it's no longer a rivalry. We haven't won in so long that, you know, to have a rivalry, you have to win a game once in a while. In the same way with Alabama. With that being said, I think we've finally got a football coach and not just a coordinator. The games I've watched, Tennessee gave away the Pitt game. They outplayed Pitt, but they made enough mistakes to lose three football games. But the one thing I did notice, they played hard for 60 minutes on both sides of football. They didn't quit. And that gives Tennessee fans a little bit of hope. But Tennessee fans are not optimistic anymore. We're just kind of dazed and confused. We hadn't had a good football team in so long that we're just scabbed over and bruised deeply. And it is what it is at this point. But, you know, either way, they're still being supported, and go Vols.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, a lot of, I mean, it's not easy being a Tennessee Vol right now, but the spirit remains high. Vinny is in New Jersey. I mean, where else? Hey, Vinny.
Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
You know, Paul, we haven't talked in a long time. I mean, I think the last time I called in, you and I talked about it was on Veterans Day and my father hitting Diamond Head Beach
right.
in Normandy.
Sure do.
But that's not why I was calling. That's not why I was calling today. What I was calling today was I just so enjoy the beginning of your show every day when I hear Tammy's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Those of us that have been following you for, gosh, 15 years from, you know, all the different shows. And I used to love listening to Tammy. And it just, we're coming up on 3 years since she died here on Highway 280.
Right.
And her and her granddaughter. And I every day when I hear her voice, Paul, I kind of get a good feeling, you know, like the good old days. And I just miss her. She was a great guest. And I don't know who she's, either it's Legend or Jim from Real Town or somebody she's given a bunch of crap to on the phone that day.
I think in that clip she was talking to Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Man, that's what it was. Yeah, Jim from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. She died in November, about a week before Thanksgiving. And
2018. It's, 2018.
I people always ask me about callers, and I've written about it, and I'll continue to talk about it, hopefully, for a long time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's never been anyone quite like her. She was the most unique caller that, forget this show,
no
any
doubt.
Show
no doubt.
For that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, she was just, you know, every day I can remember driving down to Highway 280, listening to her arguing with somebody and just laughing so hard. She was such a good caller, and just enjoyed her so much. It's, you know, it was a loss. I know that we all felt it when it happened, you know, and but that's why I called, just to tell you. I love that clip. I hope it stays on there for a long time. I wish there were more of Tammy. You know, but, you know, I continue to listen.
Yeah, maybe,
love you,
I tell you what, Vinny, you've given us a good idea. Maybe as we get closer to that, we should spend some time on that date talking about her. Because, I mean, she's worth it. I mean, there was never a bad Tammy call. Everyone was as entertaining as more entertaining.
More entertaining than the one before. And, you know, you have Legend on the show. She was truly a legend. She was.
She was.
I loved listening to her and really enjoyed it. But keep it up, man. I love the show, and roll tide.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinny. Yeah, she died on the Friday before Thanksgiving, the week before. We'll definitely spend some time reflecting back on her.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.